G'day everyone and welcome to episode 10, double figures of the Giddy Up podcast. My name is JT and I'm joined by the world famous Paralympian, Don Elgan. Welcome, Donny.
And I am the most famous person in my office tonight, that's for sure.
Oh, you're the most famous person I'm talking to right now as well. So we are actually surrounded by royalty.
Well, that's not entirely true, JT, because we've got other people that are tuning in, right?
Well, because very true. This is a Facebook Live, so there's some people that are watching this live. To those people, hello out there. And if you're watching this video later on Facebook, g'day. And if you're tuning in on your podcast when you're doing your walk or sitting in the bath or whatever you might be doing, g'day. Thanks for listening.
And if you're just like me and tuning in and just looking like this and looking, thinking that you're looking straight into JT, but you're really just looking at his fish tank, then that happens too. I do it most weeks when I'm in his bedroom, when he gets me in for the podcast. But mate, it is good to be back. And I say, of course, we're not hand in hand this week. We're still separated, doing all the right things. The only thing we're not doing tonight is wearing a mask because we don't bloody need to in homes.
Well, it's exactly right. I've got no one here other than me, the fish, and I'm sure Oscar the cat will make an appearance at point as well, as he always does.
Oscar is the coolest cat without question. So welcome, Os, when you turn up.
He is a cool cat. I can't lie about that. Now, we've got a pretty action-packed show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff that we want to discuss because, let's get right into just what buddy got our attention this week.
What got your attention this week?
There's looked so much, Donny. I tell you what, I'm just jam-packed of stuff. I want to start off right now, obviously, coronavirus. And we're sick of hearing about it, but the reality is we're all living in it. And I don't know about you, Don, but it's driving me a little bonkers.
Yeah, actually, I can say for a fact, JT, that when I spoke to you yesterday, you typically are upbeat and about and a little bit of tunes and a bit of Kanye marching music usually gets you going. But you were down yesterday, mate. And I thought, it's a bit unusual. I said, what is it, JT? And you said, I'm just fucking over corona. I'm over the fact of masks, but you said you're happy to, you understand why you wear a mask when you're out and about, which is not a lot, but it's draining and not being able to connect with other people. And both you and I are people that connect with a lot of people regularly. Yeah. And it has an impact, doesn't it?
I mean, it really does. Honestly, just the lack of humanity, I think, that you feel at the moment. I've got my kids here, otherwise I live on my own. And so when you get out in the big wide world, it's an exciting day, you get to put your bins out or you go shopping because why else can you go out? Obviously you don your mask on, you do the right thing, but all I see is other people's eyes. I can't smile at anyone, no one smiles back, and you're having a conversation. It just seems so impersonal, and you just, I don't know, it's just find it bloody draining, mate. And I'm sure a lot of people are feeling the same way, and I know I touched on it last week or the week before, for a lot of females as well. It's you just can't discern, that's not the right word, work out if someone's actually friend or foe. You know, you see someone walking at you on the street, and you've got some guy sort of walking towards you, you're sort of going, geez, is he smiling at me, saying g'day, as you would, because you read their face, you know. But you can't do that at the moment. All you just see these blank eyes almost looking back at you, and it's just, man, it's not fun. Don't like it.
Well, I must admit, the two things that I take out of this, and the first thing that happens every time for me is I look at it and go, you know what? It is tough. That's the reality. So first things first is checking with reality. And as someone who has hearing issues, and I'm deaf in my left ear, and I just got my hearing aids picked up tonight, so I'll be able to hear again. But I've really struggled not being able to see mouth movement because I typically miss letters on the ends of words. It's part of my hearing issue. Yep. And so, but with a bit of lip reading, I don't have any problems at all. And but I've found that really difficult. But the other part that I've done, JT, is I've gone back to, well, what do I know? What I know is that I used to set myself for 4 years in a row. So I would think 4 years out exactly where I'm going to be in terms of as an athlete. And I would set myself to be on a podium in another country at the Paralympic Games. And so I trained for 4 years. So for me, I look at this and go, we got 6 weeks of this, mate. I can get through 6 weeks. This seriously, even if it's 10 weeks, 12, 13 weeks, yeah, it's shit. But in the scheme of things, in the scheme of our life, this is hopefully so small that, you know, we'll look back at this and go, remember that time as opposed to our entire life. So I like to put things in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's a great take. I mean, as an athlete, as you said, you run in 4 year cycles. And for the rest of us, I think, you know, who aren't in that elite athlete world that Don has lived in the whole time, it is just, you know, I think week one, you sort of go, oh, get your head around it, we're in this. And now you're in week two and you're like, oh, crap, this is, you know, shit, 4 weeks to go. And let's hope it's just 4 weeks to go. And then you keep hearing of all these endless dickheads who aren't doing the right thing. And while you're sort of living your little miserable life and doing the right thing, it's just really frustrating. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are getting, you know, really frustrated and really down. And for the people that live alone or the elderly that don't have, you know, other people around, it's just a pretty shit time for a lot of people.
I don't think we ever should get away from calling it what it is. And that's what our show's good for, is we're not going to put a Band-Aid and pretend the bloody world's rosy. It's not right now. It's shit. And no one is really getting the outcomes that they want, that they've set themselves for. But the way to get through those tough times, mate, resilience is about taking small little daily efforts and just going, okay, it's shit today. It'll be better tomorrow because I'll have another outlook on it. So let's all, well, for me, I remind myself, don't let this get the better of me.
No, it's a good idea. And look, the other thing I've discovered is, mate, chocolate. Like, I am eating more chocolate than I've ever eaten in my life. And I don't care because I'm bloody loving it. And so
JT, you spoke about it last week, about shrinkage, mate. So don't concern yourself. There's fuck all in that block, mate. Mate, it's shrinking.
I am going the other way on shrinkage, I tell you. But that is Oscar. I shit you not. That little noise you heard is Oscar stepping on the bloody mixing desk. Good work, Os. But for a little shout out, because obviously this is real time, Safeway, Woolworths, whatever it's bloody called these days, half price Cadbury blocks. Get on it.
Oh, happy days, mate. That just stuffed my diet.
There you go, half. Love it. Now, of course, Donnie, one of the things that we all get frustrated in is during this lockdown is, well, what the hell to do with our time? And, you know, we can jump on Zoom and we can talk to our friends on the phone and all that sort of stuff. But thank God, Donnie, there's a bit of TV back because, man, I know that you are a huge fan. I'm going to say it. The Bachelor is back, Donnie.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Come on, I know you love it.
JT, I tell you what, you and all your male model mates and my wife and all my human little kids, I lose them. I bloody lose them, my Bachelor and all that shit's on, because I cannot be stuffed watching any of that crap. So, well,
Donnie,
mate, you're on your own.
I know you don't watch a lot, so I've already brought you the first breakdown, because we've already had night one, we've had the first breakdown, and this comes from Zoe Clare, who, let's just say she's a ranger, Donnie, red hair. That's all I'm going to say. You can listen to the rest.
No, no.
One time that I can walk in something and I'm like, no one has my hair, no one has my bone structure, no one has my body, and they don't. And that's not a lie, they don't. But you're still different. You're still a wrangler at the end of the day, and that sucks because they think no matter what, oh, it's fine, she's different. And like, did the rebirth do it to any of the blonde girls, any of the brunette girls? No.
So did someone say something to you about it? Or did you hear someone say something?
No.
There you go. No one actually said anything, but she's very offended.
So this is a ranger having a blonde moment.
She was definitely having a moment. Now, for anyone who's listening live to this show, full respect, because The Bachelor is on now and there's probably more to the playing out. So, but don't go. We'll bring you the clip next week. So you're not going to miss anything by jumping into our show.
Can we just talk about COVID or something better? Bachelor. There's people aren't tuning in to ask JT to find out about bloody ranger breakdowns. Or are they?
What do you mean? Everyone's on The Bachelor, mate. But I'm glad you asked what is happening about talking about COVID, because one of the things that did get a bit of attention last week was one of the doctors, mate. Have a listen to this.
There are frontline heroes, and this is how we thank them. After a 14-hour shift saving lives at the Royal Melbourne, intensive care doctor Katerina Aranjelovic rewarded with a parking ticket.
What do you reckon, Donnie? Just done a massive shift, saving lives, comes out and finds a ticket on her car.
Yeah, I reckon there's probably a bit more to that, JT. The news will tell us that the council's are real bastards for giving a ticket. The council didn't go through those cards and go, oh, is this a doctor saving lives? Yes, good, let's give him a ticket. So, like, let's be real about this. She's probably parked in a residential area or somewhere you need a permit for. What I do know is the council issued 10,000 parking permits to the hospital. They needed 15,000. They didn't get them, and they've already refunded that bloody ticket. So I think it's a non-story, mate. I think that's the news. Typically looking for an angle to make the council be bastards. I'm not a fan of councils anyway, but...
So happy days. Move on. Fantastic.
Yeah, move on. Give us a full story, mate.
Right, there you go. G'day, Joel's just joined us. And Karen, we've got to be very careful, mate, because Karen, one of our listeners, is a ranger. and a Karen, mate. That is a pretty lethal combination.
Holy shit, that's a double whammy.
It is definitely a double whammy. Now, of course,
we're... Yeah, but she's probably a hot one. They're rare, but she's probably one of them.
Look at this. Crowey's just also sent us a message. I love that this the beauty of the internet is you can go anywhere. He's watching, he's sitting in Bali having a bloody good time at the moment.
Living the dream.
At the same time. So, g'day, Crow. Well, mate, we're all very jealous of you sitting in Bali. That seems like, mate, just walking out and putting the bins out is exciting at the moment, let alone thinking about going to another country. Now,
I will get there one day.
We do have some good news, Donnie. It's not all bad news about COVID and crap. I've got some good news, although it does, I don't know about you, but this makes me feel very, 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 very old. I'm going to play it for you now. If I don't get another ad, I'm going to go
here
crazy.
We go. This is why we give you the big job with IT.
Just going to zone the ad out. There we go. I've got the control still. Here we go.
Mindy Irwin and Chandler Powell are adding another member to the pack. The happy couple announced on Instagram that they are pregnant with their first baby together just a few months after getting married.
Mindy is having a baby, Donnie.
Oh, well, a little prickle, mate. This is going to be exciting. I tell you what, anytime someone has a kid, but you're right, it's a bit like when we've seen bloody Nikki Webster all grown up. Like, it's some people aren't meant to grow up. They're meant to be little kids for, that's how you see them. And so, bloody good on her. Little Bindi, that's going to be fan-bloody-tastic. I wonder what they're going to call it. Like, That's the real question, isn't it?
Well, it depends if it's a boy or a girl, Donnie, I suppose. That might have something to do with it. Would they go dad? Would Steve Jr.?
So they might do a little infrared ultrasound and just see if they can have a look if it's a boy or girl first, and if it's a reptile or human or who bloody knows. But one thing's for sure, it's exciting and the world will be watching.
Pretty sure it's not going to be a reptile, Donnie, but stranger things have happened. Now, we will talk a little bit about Corona because there was some big news, which is pretty scary in some respects, in our friends over in New Zealand. Who 102 days COVID free and then boom, suddenly comes out of nowhere. What do you got, Tony? What's your take on that?
You know where it come from?
Tell me.
China. It blew from China on like the back of a plane, just they dropped it in.
That's all you
like,
got.
Seriously, do you just make up a bloody, there's no cases. See, because you and I, we've had this conversation. If I see you and you haven't seen anyone, I can't give you Corona and you can't give it to me, right?
That's pretty much how it goes.
Well, that's bullshit because someone in New Zealand was either hiding or they didn't get it down to zero in the first place. But what I do like, when Jacinda found out that she did a bit of sniffing around and found out someone had it, she said, right, sucker, straight to lockdown, third degree bloody lockdown. So we're in fourth stage four. They went straight to stage three. So they're not stuffing around with it. They're taking it serious, but it is a bit bloody alarming, isn't it? What do you know? You always got a bit of inside scoop.
Well, no one knows at this stage, but there is some rumours that it's come across in some sort of frozen shipping, refrigerated food, etc. But no one really knows yet at the moment. But obviously, it's a concern. And I think the reality is that this thing's going to be around for a long time, and we're just going to have to learn to somehow live with it because it's even when you think you're eliminated and they've had their borders closed for a long time, and it still just pops up, right? So it will be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think everyone around the world is just sort of watching to see what the hell goes on because that will definitely influence decisions if it does happen that it has somehow been linked to shipping. You can imagine the impact that's going to have because that means every single container or goods that go overseas or through international borders is going to have to be sprayed or quarantined or whatever, and that is going to have a massive impact on supplies for food and for goods, you name it. So, obviously a lot riding on this, I think.
But I don't hold out fully that it's right yet, JT, because remember, who is that? It was McConnell.
Yeah, a footy player had a false positive. And
false positive. So you know what? This could be someone getting a bit excited because there's a positive. It might be not.
Well, it wasn't just one though, Donnie. So the whole family, was, I think three out of the six in the family tested positive. So it is no question it sounds like it is positive. But, it still remains to be seen what was actually causing it. So, as I said, I think everyone's going to be watching with interest to see what happens. But
we'll be watching.
Donnie, I don't want you to worry, though, because I've got more good news.
What do you got? There's got to be more.
Mate, Russia have got a vaccine.
Well, yeah, but you hear a lot of rumours about Russia. Our last rumour I heard about him is they rigged bloody Trumpy's election. So what have they got?
Mate, Putin's come out and said they've got the vaccine. He's so confident he's given it to his daughter. So, mate, we're all sorted. There's nothing to worry about.
And yeah, but is it the vaccine for COVID or for measles? Like, did he say what it's for?
No, he was very specific that it was for COVID. And they're ramping up production now, mate. So,
they'll sell that out like bloody hotcakes and cash up, mate. And then all these pricks will be thinking they're immune, dancing around, we got the vaccine.
Not that I've ever seen these ads before, but you know how when you're on Facebook and stuff and ads keep popping up, do you need, erectile dysfunction and all this sort of crap that just comes up? What's the bet we're going to start saying, do you need a COVID vaccine? There's going to be like this black market for the COVID vaccine that's going to start coming out, I reckon.
Get it now. It's cheaper because it's 2019's vaccine, not 2020.
It's exactly
right. JT, you're bound to have somebody sort of clip for me for something else. What do you got?
I have actually got some more good news, Donnie. I know.
What do you got?
How much good news can you bring in one episode, I tell you? Well, this is about I'm just trying to find it. Give me 1 second here. This is about a 98-year-old Holocaust survivor, Donnie. Did you hear about this one?
I did, yes. I was very, very impressed when I heard that she'd gone through what's that camp? Auschwitz and the concentration camp, and she had the tattoo of her arm. They numbered the Jews when they went to these camps. It was a horrible, horrible period of time. Mm-hmm. And so this lady has literally lived her life. And then to be able to get COVID, and then coming out the other side, I was looking, I don't watch much TV, JT. When I see that, I was going a big giddy up spate. I was really, really happy for it.
Exactly. I'm going to show a clip of it now. And again, we might have to just bypass the the ads. I'm just going to get rid of jaw size, which, what a great ad. We'll skip that ad. And here we go.
Warming story out of Victoria. Marion Schwartz was struck down by COVID-19 a month ago. And at times, it was touch and go.
Miraculously, she recovered and she has become the state's oldest coronavirus survivor.
There we go. We won't hear a story, mate. But how good is that? 98 and goes through that and bang, what a survivor.
That's bloody awesome, mate. I'll tell you what, it does give you hope, doesn't it? So if old Poots' bloody vaccine shit house, it's not that bad because this chick clearly didn't have it and she got through. So I'm pretty optimistic, JT.
Mate, why wouldn't you be? I mean, Putin's got our back, mate. So seriously, we're all under control. Now, a bit of news around the work front. And this is probably a bit of future thinking, I reckon, Don, because we're obviously a lot of people now are getting used to this work from home environment. Mm. And I've been doing it for, 4 or 5 years now. So I suppose it's not that new for me. But for a lot of people, this is their first taste of work from home. Now, Atlassian, I don't know if you know much about Atlassian, mate, but it's an Aussie startup. It's now worth over $30 billion. Now, they employ a lot of people. Now, they came out, the founders came out last week, a few days ago, and just said that remote work will be permanent beyond COVID. And they literally just spent a truckload building their massive new headquarters. So they've come out and said, you know what, we're just going to go with this forever. And I actually think this is going to be a big trend going forward. And obviously for those that know me, I work in the call center industry and, you're used to having those huge rooms with lots of people on the phones and stuff. And I've sort of been commentating in my professional life that I can't see those days returning either. Why would you have hundreds of people in prime real estate typically where these head offices are in the CBD, et cetera, when you've got people that can work from home and they're mostly happy to work from home, they save on the commute time, they stay with you longer, et cetera. So I think, what do you reckon, Don? Do you reckon there's going to be a shift in society and that's going to become more of a permanent thing?
Well, yes and no, mate. One of the first things that we all want to do is get back out of our house. So, there's going to be a rebellion in part. I think also too, watching so many people rock up to Zoom meetings and clearly working from home, and it's nothing to see a half-naked kid walk past and going for a swim and that sort of stuff in these Zoom meetings, because people get it that we're working from home. Mm. But there's also, when people go back to working environment, what's it going to be like? Like, there's going to be a re-entry almost into it. Like, even just turning up in your tracksuit pants. People are in for change, but I don't think everyone's going to just want to jump on, let's stay at home. I think a lot of people going, get me out of here. I think that'll probably change after homeschooling is finished. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that people, mate, we're social creatures. The body, the water tank and those conversations, people love it. I don't think it's going to be a winner for everyone, JT.
No, you're right, and it's certainly not for everyone. I think what will happen is that there'll probably be a lot more flexibility about working from home. So, e.g., you might spend 2 days a week in the office and 3 days at home or vice versa, et cetera, because I think that team bonding and is really important for a lot of people, and also just for training and all those sorts of things that have to happen. It's a lot more practical when you've got everyone together normally, right?
Yeah, but JT, I've got one for you. And I asked this very question a little Midge today when we're out going on a run at 6:30 in the morning. We get up and this is our little routine. And, you know, how proud am I to have a 21-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter that get up and go for a run with me and my beautiful first wife each day. And it's a real treat and it's an opportunity to have a chat with them as well. And I said to Midge, mate, do you think it's okay if you're working from home that you pack up and go and live in Thailand? So you still got your job, mm-hmm, you're still mm-hmm, working, mm-hmm, and but you clearly, you just body somewhere else in a holiday destination. What's your thoughts on that, JT?
Mate, that's been the dream for me for a long time. You know, if I didn't have my kids here, I'd be living overseas. I've got the type of job where I'm online, and literally I could do that, you know, lying on a banana lounge next to a pool in Thailand, or I could do it sitting in my home right here. So, yeah, for sure.
So do you think efficiencies are up when you're in home? But surely we want to get away from work when we go to a holiday. So that's why I'm going, well, is it a win for you, or do you get it, you know, does life just blend into one big holiday while you're getting paid to do a bit?
Yeah, but mate, even when you're sitting in the office, we're not on for 8 hours, are we? I mean, how many people are still
Come on, Donnie.
How many people are still, you know, talking to their mates at the water cooler or looking at their Facebook feed or whatever it might be? The reality is you've got little periods of the day where you're just on, right? You know that, you know, that's when it's all working for you. So I think it's about maximizing your productivity. When you're on, and stop judging people by the amount of minutes that they're clocking on and judge them by the actual work that they're doing.
And we're going to see a lot more of that, aren't we, as we go forward, people? It's about the productivity. And as long as you're hitting the figures and hitting the targets, then who really gives a shit where you're doing it from?
That's exactly right. Now, another clip I'm going to share with everyone right now, mate, is the big fella, Donald Trump.
Trumpy!
Yeah, hey, this is interesting how this played out. Well, let's have a look, see if we get the ads again. Probably will. Yeah, we will. So we'll just dial it out. So obviously there was a bit of a gun scare last week. There was a bit of trouble. So we've got the clip for you right now that we're going to watch.
It's like they're just about going to be topping records, hopefully soon. Excuse me?
His life is in danger at the moment. He's just casually walking off the stage. Mate, if your life was in danger and there was a crazed gunman on the loose or whatever might have been going on, he didn't obviously know at that point, didn't exactly fly off the stage there, mate, did he?
No, old Secret Service taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, Trumpy, we've got to go, mate. And he walked out like he's heading, I don't know, fresh from the morgue or something. Well, yeah, I reckon when Secret Service tap you on the shoulder, they're not just stuffing around.
That's exactly right. I would be, you know, pronto kind of out of there. But it was interesting when he came back. We don't want to bore you with the 2 minutes of the footage to watch it. But when he came back, did you remember what he said? Did you see it?
I think he said he wasn't afraid, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm not afraid. Yeah, it was quite staggering. He's an interesting unit, Don. I've got to tell you. Now, look, I'm a bit excited about this because the next section, again, I'm going to share something with our listeners, but I have to play my favourite little clip, Donnie, and I think you know what's coming. Here we go.
This sounds like bedroom marching music coming up.
Oh, yeah. It's the Kanye update. Now, Donnie, this one gets me really, really, really excited, mate, because, look, we know Kanye is, mate, he's got some rock solid policies behind him, right? I mean, we know that.
Don't, is he?
Oh, mate, absolutely. I mean, the birthday party, don't muck around, Donnie, when it comes to policies. They are front and square and helping out the people. So I like to know that, you know, when he's got his time, because the elections, it's fast approaching, mate. And it's fair to say they haven't nailed
– November 4, isn't it?
Somewhere around there. They haven't nailed all their policies yet. But Kanye, mate, he's not one to rest. He's working for the people. So I'm about to unveil now, for the first time to our listeners, Kanye's released his merchandise. Kanye 2020 Vision T-shirts, caps can be bought now. Yep.
Oh, get on it. Get them, JT.
Well, you can order them directly from Kanye's website, so it's bloody exciting. So forget the policies, just get the T-shirt, people, and happy days.
Oh, geez, I tell you what, who would have thought, as long as there's enough people wearing his gear, he really won't give a shit if he gets in or if he doesn't, really. He'll be cashed up.
Hang on a minute, you're saying there's a conspiracy theory that he's only running for president to get more attention to sell his merchandise? Don, what are you going on about?
Well, isn't that Trumpy? Didn't he do that? I thought, stop drinking, mate.
No,
actually... I reckon this is it is a bit of a piss take. It's to make Trumpy look good. That's why they've rolled out Kanye.
There you go. That's what you reckon. Now, Don, we've had a lot of fun. We've had a few laughs already, but I'm going to get real.
What do you got?
Now, we put ourselves out in the public domain, and we spoke about this before we did it, that we are kind of leaving ourselves open, that people are pretty easy to have a crack these days. And, you know, it takes a lot of thick skin and being public life, as much as Daniel Andrews, my God, you know, the guy shits me beyond belief. But there's a human element when you go, Jesus Christ, you know, he has rocked up to work every day, credit where credit's due, he's been slammed from everyone and he still keeps rocking up. And that wouldn't be easy, right, for anyone.
And he's got a boy going through year 12, so he's got the dad hat on too, which, for me, I go, well played, mate.
Yep. Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, mind you, I'd still punch him in the head if I saw him right now because I'm a little pissed off about it.
So aggressive, JT.
Right? But anyway, someone's had a go, Don. Someone's had a go at you.
Surprise.
We do publish our videos on YouTube and on Facebook, of course.
And we do.
We encourage people to comment, and we understand and respect that it's not always going to be favourable. And that's okay. And we got a comment from Jamie Braun, and I'll shout out straight away. One, because you can comment anonymously on YouTube, and good on you, Jamie, for actually just putting your name to it, mate. So hats off to you already.
Well played.
But I think what I'm going to read out his comments because I'm interested in your response, Don. I think it's something that we should discuss. And it's about the Coon Cheese, and we did speak about this on a couple of episodes ago about them deciding to change the name, even though the founder – it was all after the founder. You know, his surname was actually Coon, right? So it was nothing racially motivated at the time. So Jamie's comments were, they rebranded a cheese brand to align with the social landscape, Don. I don't understand why you're getting your knickers in a twist. Your outburst is indicative of what is inherently wrong with this country. I think Australians understand the name isn't intentionally racist. It's just time to move on from the old ways. Real progress waits for no bigots, champ.
There you go. Well, I must admit, when I think, the first thing I did when I got that, and of course I get a notification if someone writes a comment on my YouTube channel, the first thing I did is I looked up bigot because I've only ever heard other people say it, and I've actually never understood what it was. And so I got it, and it says, a person who is intolerant towards those holding different opinions. Well, JT, I'm hand on heart, will tell you straight up that I am a bigot when it comes to two things, meaning there's two things in my life that I don't give a shit about your opinion, I won't sway from, and that's abuse to women and children. Apart from that, I think I've made it pretty clear along the way that I am not going to, apart from that one time that you did call me out for sitting on the fence, I'm absolutely going to have an opinion. I don't really give a shit if my opinion gets accepted as, yes, that's the holy grail, or no, it's not. It's just my opinion. And I'm absolutely all for saying I can mend my opinion, and I'm happy for everybody to have one. As a matter of fact, that's what I've been sprouting from as far back as I can remember. Let's have the conversation. You don't have to agree. And when people have a crack at me for having an opinion, I've got no real comeback apart from, what is your opinion? If you don't have one, you're adding to the problem. The reason I had opinion so strong around the Coon Cheese is because it's a bloke's name. Me, I've worked hard to create a name for myself, and my dad corrected anyone who ever said Elgin. He said, no, it's Elgin, mate, and he wanted to get it right. So if you're going to have a name, then in my opinion, it should stand for something. And so to move on from the times, even that, Jamie, like, mate, if that's your stance, I still think you're missing something. You're missing the point of, yeah, it's cute to not offend people in this day and age, and I'm all for that. Mm. But you know what? You haven't won me over, and call me a bigot. Like, yep, so be it. That's the other thing, JT. You can call me whatever you like. The sun's still coming up tomorrow. I can be offended. You can be offended. It doesn't matter. We can agree to disagree. So I'm grateful that someone reached out to call me on something, but you haven't swayed me that one yet.
Ah, fair enough. I mean, it's a very divisive issue, and I know even talking to some of my mates that, you know, everyone's got an opinion on this. It's either you're an absolute racist for not supporting it and saying, well, clearly it's racist, or it's got racist undertones, and we've just got to piss this shit off, and it's, you know, no good, blah blah blah. And you've got the others, probably in your camp, I guess, Donnie, saying, mate, who gives a shit? It's someone's name. We've just got to all move on and stop being offended about everything. Who's actually offended by this? Like, it's the outrage
society.
Well, it's the cancel culture at the moment. Is the big term at the moment, isn't it? So, there you go. Yep. Mate, so we're going to move on to our next topic. 60 Minutes, mate. You gave everyone a heads up last week, but they were pretty much just blatantly going to rip off a story off Netflix. Did that actually happen?
No. In a word, no, it didn't. And I'm really glad it didn't. Half of the show, they made it out, and I was sitting there and talking to my bride and going, oh, you wankers, just do not do this. So what I was disappointed about is that they didn't go early with it and say, hey, you know what, this is an extremely big situation. We've also found another situation with some girls that were twins, but they didn't rip it off, and they did give credit to it. As a matter of fact, they played on Channel 9 later on that evening after the show, the actual documentary I was talking about. So, and I know there were some people that were really hooked on that because it was bloody fascinating. So, yep, well played, Channel 9. You called me. I thought I had yes, but No, you did the right thing.
So and well, if anyone's interested in that show on Netflix, what was it called?
It's called Identical Strangers.
There you go, Identical Strangers, about triplets that were separated at birth and then tracked for medical or scientific purposes. So there you go. Now, we've covered a couple of hard stuff again. I want to give you some good news, Donnie.
What do you got?
Cocaine Cassie.
Yes, what's happening?
Well, here? You know, obviously she did her time, did the crime, fell in love in prison.
Well, she was engaged when she went in. Remember, well, she was engaged
to a guy. She's innocent. Yeah, he stood by her. And anyway, she dumped him and ended up getting engaged to a lady in the prison that she met and fell in love. That happens, mate. It happens all the time.
I've heard about getting gay for the stay, but what? So she's still...
No, still engaged, as all reports. But anyway, the good news is, Donnie, that she's fallen on hard times. Now, that's not the good news. Of course, we don't like anyone falling on hard times. But the good news, Donnie, is because I know you're a fan, she's now selling nudes online.
Who's getting fucking by then?
You heard it first.
I tell you what, she'd want to have jumped on the treadmill since she went in, because I wouldn't be buying nudes of Cocaine Cassie. For a start, her reputation hasn't done her well. Look, let's put a drug bloody... Well, no.
Donnie, this is all bullshit because on the run sheet, you actually said that you were going to do a review, and I was expecting just to share the photos with our listeners now, and now you're backtracking. What's going on?
You
mate?
Hit me with Cocaine Cassie, and I think, gee, she's bloody got past them, and she's smuggled some, I don't know, but then you hit me if she's selling nudes, and that's bloody soft on material.
Okay,
right. What else you got?
Oh, mate, well, look, I want to talk about relationships, Donnie.
Well, I thought we just were.
Oh, no, this is really troubling me. There's a story that's out. Look, Jackie Howard, lovely lady, she's in love.
Hello.
Oh, she's in love. I think it's fantastic. But she's in love with, well, Temujin. Now, Temujin, look, nice
looking
guy.
Are you racist? Is that where you're going?
No. Lovely looking guy and very nice. But, mate, the problem is Jackie's 61.
Yeah?
Yeah, and Temujin's 27, mate. 27. Hey! 61 to 27. What do you reckon, Donnie? We got an issue with that, or good luck to him?
Well, I reckon JT at first, when I think about this, because of course, as a young bloke, I had a moment. Really, I was young, I was 16, and I went to a concert. And the next day, this person I may have caught up with at the concert called my house, and mum spoke with this lady, and she was a similar sort of age to my mum. It wasn't clear at the concert, it was dark, but I'm not into Mooshy's situation. Mate.
I'm just putting a photo up on the screen now for our listeners so you can. He can see that now. And look, to be fair, she doesn't probably look 61. I think it would be fair to say. And
yeah, but looks it. Like, how old's he?
No, 27. 27.
Okay. Well, fuck that. If you get past about 25, 20 or so, it's fair game, isn't it?
Well, man, my personal view is love knows no boundaries, Donnie. If they're happy, Mate, good luck to them. Who gives a shit, to be honest? They're both adults and they've actually been in a relationship for 3 years. This is not something that's just, you know, they've just whipped up a relationship on Tinder. This is the real deal for 3 years. So I say...
The sex would be off the chart, though, wouldn't it?
I say... Well,
like, he'd be living the dream.
I'm not going there. But you know what? It's 3 years, Donnie. They're both happy, and I think that's all that really matters.
There you go. There we go. Yep, good on them. I say bloody good on them. However, JT, I do have – this is where I crash and burn and why I said that – how old are they? Because they've got to be of an age where you go, righto, you're away now. You're adults. So you make the call. Hey, you realise, champ, if you have a kid with her, if it's possible, there's a fair chance she's going to be dead before the kid's 20, right? Ooh, you know, just rough maths. I'm not saying that she's all right. But, you know, she's at the arse end of life. She's got a bit left in her, but she ain't going to be around, you know, for as potentially as long as to mooch. So as long as they accept all the reality, then I think it's up to them and it's no one else's concern, and bloody good luck to them.
Mate, we're very happy for them. Congratulations to the a lovely couple. So there you go. Lots happening.
I'm sure they're listening.
I mean, I'm sure they are, right? If you are, g'day, guys, welcome.
Knock yourself out.
Time to hear a bit more about my adoption. And we've got lovely Oscar in the background there, if you saw that as well. He's about to walk all over the desk. Come on, little Oscar. All right, I've got a cat flying across the screen. All right, where did we get to last time, mate?
Well, I always get hooked at first on your little baby hip-hop bloody tunes, and then I just take a breath and think about the fact that you're adopted and you have had a hell of a story and you've shared it freely with the viewers. Now, we did say there's a couple newies, hopefully, and more and more and more of you are tuning in to the podcast. And so let me bring you up to speed in a nutshell. This is JT's adoption. JT was adopted. He knew right from the start that his adopted parents said to him, hey, you're adopted, mate. His mum separated, remarried, and then so he's had a mum and dad all his life. At his mid-20s, he said, I really like to find out about who my real mum is and my real dad. Went along to an adoption agency. They taught him how to write a letter. They gave him an envelope with some details. He wrote a letter to this lady, was his mum. The next day, they've hooked up or gone around, had lunch, and then first thing, which is really important, his mum, JT's mum, said to him was, you look exactly like your father. So, of course, that unearthed a whole new lot of curiosity. You did some research. You started reading through the phone book. You found out and you stalked a whole lot of people. You had a little bit of information that said that your dad worked at the Preston Market. So you rang everyone, asked and put them through the survey. They said, one of them said, actually, yeah, we did have a store at the Preston Market. So then you were on to something. You then, a bit later on, by this conversations with this person, found out when you spoke to your dad that he actually didn't want, he didn't owe you anything. He didn't want to talk to you. He had no desire to catch up with you. And he'd also told no one about you.
Yep.
So eventually you persisted. You got to a point that the relationship was strong. You caught up with your dad. You met him in a coffee shop in Armidale. He brought along his best mate. You found out a bit about your dad. Unfortunately, your dad has passed away, and this is where we got to, JT.
Yeah, so we're so I'm at the funeral, and you know, it was a, I think as I'm sort of touched on it last week, it was a bloody, it was a very emotional day. I ended up going with a mate who, you know, knew my dad and knew the story and had kept it to himself for a long period of time, and I really respect that. Thank you, Jason, if you're listening. So we're at the funeral, and you know, like, I just don't know what happened. I was sort of there, and I didn't know what to expect. And my dad was Jewish, and I didn't know anything about the, you know, being Jewish whatsoever. And I was literally on the internet going, "What happens at a Jewish funeral?" Right? I had no
idea. So JT, you weren't raised Jewish or anything. No, like, you had nothing to do with being that side okay?
Nothing to do with it, and knew nothing about it. So, and so I was just hoping at the funeral. What I really wanted to do was just walk in the back of the church, you know, be there for the ceremony and stuff, pay my respects, and then just sort of duck out the door and off I go. That was sort of what I wanted to do. But it turns out that that doesn't happen at Jewish funerals. It's actually at the gravesite. And so I'm like, okay, great. So I'm there and I'm walking up, and I didn't know how many people were going to be at this funeral, Don. I honestly didn't know if it was just going to be immediate family and there'd be 10 people standing there, and suddenly this bloke walks up and everyone sort of looks at it and goes, mate, who the fuck are you? And you sort of go, or was there going to be thousands of people and I could just blend in? I had absolutely no idea. So I was absolutely shitting bricks actually going to the funeral itself.
And did you go by yourself?
No, so I went with Jason and his wife.
Jason, sorry.
Yeah. And so anyway, I'm walking up and it was a big moment for me for a number of reasons. One, it's obviously your father's funeral. And as I said, I was really worried about being identified, I guess, and people just, you know, suddenly making a scene and going, who are you and why are you here and all that sort of stuff. But it was also going to be the only time that that I was going to see my brothers. Now, I've got three half-brothers, so our dad, you know, had three children, so they're my same father, right? And, one of them, you know, I don't know how many people know, but one of them's pretty well-known and in the sporting arena. And, so I see him a lot on television, and that's fine. But the other two, you know, much lower profile, and I'd honestly never seen him, never seen a photo of him, never seen a thing. So, you know, I was just thinking, wow, this is going to be the first time I lay eyes on my brothers, you know, my half-brothers. So, yeah, it was big. So, so I go up and I'm sort of, thank God, there was probably around, I don't know, 100 people, right? And so it wasn't sort of small, so I could kind of blend in. And my dad had a bit of an AFL and basketball background, so there was actually a lot of tall people there. So so I was like, that was the other thing. I thought, I'm going to stick out like dog's balls here. But I didn't. I was actually one of the shorter guys around. Some really big units there, and a couple of well-known, you know, from the footy circles and from the NBL, et cetera, there as well. So I was like, oh, I know that guy. And so that was good. So I sort of they finally start the ceremony, and I sort of walked over, and I just wanted to blend in. And I don't know how it happened, and it's hard to do a visual thing of this, but it was almost like the Red Sea parted at the funeral. I was standing on one side of the coffin, and they've basically dug the hole already. So the coffin's sort of next to the hole, and there's the hole and the big mound of dirt where they've dug dug the hole for the coffin. And on the other side of the coffin, there was some seating for the immediate family. So literally my brothers, their partners, if they had a partner, my Jeff's wife, because she was obviously still alive, and Jeff's mum, my grandma, was still alive. So she was there as well. So I was literally standing one side, you know, the coffin, literally the only thing separating us. So I was right at the front and the coffin, and then they were on the other side. And I had the sunglasses on because, I've got to be honest, I knew I was going to, you know, be a little emotional. And so I had the dark sunnies on, and it was a really hot day, and I was standing there and I was like sweating like a pig, and I don't really sweat much, but I just thought, can you imagine if I faint right now? I don't want to make a scene and I'm just going to faint. I was like, just don't faint. And I thought, I can't move, because, you know, once I realized I was at the front, because then I thought, no, everyone's going to look at me and I can't move. And I thought, I just had to stand there the whole ceremony and hear it. So anyway, so there was that to deal with already. And, one of the things that struck me, and I didn't think about it leading up to the day, was Luke, who is the oldest brother, who lives in Singapore. Luke actually spoke, as his dad, of course, so he was the chosen one of the family, I guess, to speak. And so he spoke a lot about his dad, and Jeff's wife spoke. And I just stood there, and one of the things that really struck me was, that was the first time I'd ever heard about someone talking about my dad other than my dad. And by that, what I mean is, everything I knew about my dad was what my dad had told me. And so I didn't know anything about some of his, you know, background or history or, you know, whatever it might have been. So it was fascinating for me just to hear some of the stuff that came out of there. Like, he loved greyhounds, for example. I had absolutely no idea there was a few greyhounds at the funeral. So there was a lot of things like that. His favorite destination, holiday destinations, and, you know, jokes and all that sort of stuff. And it just felt like at times it was almost describing me. You know, it was really bizarre. So it was it sort of really struck me a little bit weird. Now, one of the joys of doing a live podcast, for those who are watching, will know that we've just lost Donnie. So he's just dialing back in right now. We got him back. Hey, Donnie. We just lost you there for a second, mate. So,
time to drop out, mate.
You're going to have to watch the replay now to catch up on it. So I was just talking about some of the stuff that I heard you know, during the eulogy. And so it was pretty confronting, I guess, just hearing some of that stuff. And not necessarily in a bad way because, you know, he sounded like a pretty good guy. And but you're just sort of standing there going, oh, wow, that was, you know, it was, yeah, a pretty surreal moment in your life when you the guy, you know, your father, your birth father's there being buried and you're also reeling with all this information and then you're seeing your brothers across the coffin and, you know, so there's just so many mixed emotions going through your head, right? So, yeah, so it was a really, really big day and I just want to finish the story by saying part of the Jewish ceremony towards the end is they actually invite the family to throw – they literally had some soil from Jerusalem and so it's sort of like you know – bury back from where you came from or whatever the symbolism is. But they invite the family to throw three little handfuls of dirt to start the burial process. So the coffin's lowered into the ground already and then they just throw three handfuls of dirt from Jerusalem on top of the coffin. And so they invited the family to do that and I'm sort of standing there going, oh, I'm bloody family, where's, you know, they're feeling sorry for myself. And anyway, they did that. And then they invite the family, the big pile of dirt where the coffins, where they've dug the hole from, they invite the family in to put three handfuls or shovels of the dirt in. So it's when the sort of the shit gets real. So they did that. And I thought, well, I want to do that as well. But again, I don't want to, you know, make a scene, all that sort of stuff. So you just stand there going, oh, well, it is what it is. But they ended up opening it up to everyone, said if anyone would like to pay their respects, you know, come and do it. And I thought, oh, you beauty, I'm definitely having a crack. And I thought, I don't care if not many people do it, I'm doing it. As it turned out, just about everyone did it. So, you know, it didn't sort of cause a scene or anything. And I got to, you know, put it in and say my words to, you know, my final words to Dad and all that sort of stuff. And but anyway, I go back to the position I was standing there while everyone else was doing the dirt. And Donnie, this guy comes over to me and he says, g'day. He goes, have we met before? And I was like, no, I don't think so, mate. And he's like, you look really familiar. I'm like, no, sorry, mate. No, it doesn't, no, don't think so. Mate, he kept going on and firing all these questions at me. And it was like my worst nightmare was unfolding that someone's gone, who the hell are you? Why are you here? And or you look like them and who, you know, blah, blah, blah. So needless to say, my heart was in my throat. It was after the sort of the funeral had already happened. So I was, you know, going, oh, my God, this is a lot to deal with right now. So I'm going to tell more about that story in the next episode,
oh,
Donnie.
Oh, fuck, JT, that's big. Yeah. Are we doing the next one tomorrow?
we'll give you more of that one next week. So there you go. That's my little story. And we're now going to get into one of our favourite segments.
Driving.
Oh, a bit of media watch. So, Donnie, as you know, we try and get our clips from around the world. Now, we have got this on YouTube, so I'm going to reduce the screen so our folks can see this. Now, I want to give a big shout out to Matt Veenstra who set this in. Thanks, Matt.
Matt,
I've known Matt. Met him a long, long time ago when I was working back in Aussie Post days, and we might even get Matt on the show one day because Matt is an ultra distance runner. He's one of those, he's one of those crazy bastards that just goes and runs.
Got problems in the head.
Hundreds of kilometres and thinks it's fun. I mean, seriously, there's obviously some mental issues going on there. But mate, a very interesting guy. And in all seriousness, obviously, it's a huge amount of discipline to get your body to be able to do something like that. So now he sent us a little clip in about Peter Russell Clark. Now, you know Peter Russell Clark because he used to promote Coon Cheese.
Where's the cheese?
Exactly right. So you gotta love him. This was uploaded last year, but these are some of his original outtakes from some of his ads. So I'm just going to play just one for you now, which is pretty funny.
G'day. I've been invited to the lodge for fucking dinner. I couldn't put the phone down.
Good
right.
Anyway.
And action. G'day. I've been invited to the lodge for dinner. I'm not even a member. So I'm making something special with some broccoli and some fucking that stuff. That's carrot. G'day. I've been invited to something special, get fucked. Now, where's the cheese? Australian Eden, by the way, you cunt.
Probably should have given the heads up that was coming. There you go, Paul. Oh, I told dear. You.
Hey, kids, get some milk.
I told you, Paul, there was one coming. So you got to hand it to Peter Russell Clark for actually putting it out there. It's bloody hilarious. It's a great clip. Thanks, Matt, for sending it in. I will post a link on our page later so people can actually watch that one. What do you think, Donnie? You like that one?
Oh, I like that, mate. Yes, sirree. Yep, there you go. That's cheese in a good light. That's more of that.
We definitely love that. Now, of course, the other segment has just taken on a whole life of its own, Donnie. And I think it's probably just because the tune, mate. It just got everyone going.
What do you got?
I've got to say, if anyone just tunes in right when that song's playing, they're probably just thinking, what the freaking hell am I listening to? Donnie, your diary.
No, the Tokemoor Public School theme song that we play every Friday is getting a belting on the Giddy Up podcast. So big shout out to Whitey. Thanks, mate, for making that happen. Really appreciate it. Now, JT, what I did this week is I thought about the humans, right, the lovely listeners out there.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I've gave them a little bit about, like, the turd that I was when I was a little wee whippersnapper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've given them a bit of like, a little bit of teenagey sort of I was MacGyvering, and Oscar's probably still hanging around. So he's come back, so that's good. So I did have a story last week about how I tried to catch cat and missed it. So anyway, I've got a story, ripped the page out from 2008. So I've moved right along because I figured that got stories from my entire life. And so I figured I'll grab one from my adult life and you can see how much I've progressed and as a gentleman.
This is exciting, Donnie. All right, let's hit it with us. Let's go.
Right, 1st of September 2008. Tonight, I write sitting in a hotel in Nanjing, China. One day, I'll look back on this day. I see an osteo each week. When I'm there, I sometimes talk to a Chinese Dr. David. One day, David asked if I'd like to be in his book. I said, sure. David's book was about 24 inspirational Olympians and a couple of Paralympians. After the story was written, David asked if I'd like to be on the cover of his book. I said, sure. David also asked me if I'd like to go to China on a speaking tour to promote the book. I said, sure. So here I am. Tonight, after a big day of speaking and book signing, the night was a bit eventful. David and I went for dinner with the head honchos from the university that published the book. In China, if a university publishes something, it's a big deal. For the uni, it was kind of a big deal to have me there with them to help promote the book. At dinner, there was so much food, and I was going okay with chopsticks, but given I don't use them at home too often, I was still having a bit of trouble. I liked how nobody laughed when about eight bloody times things fell off or slid off my chopsticks. It made me feel a shitload better when I saw one of the professors drop some stuff from his chopsticks. There were so many dishes. And as each one would come out, the people would always insist I go first because I was the special guest. Well, this dish come out with little yabbies in it. And I managed to get one in with my chopsticks and put it on my plate and I started peeling it. Then, out the corner of my eye, I saw a lady beside me grab a yabby and put it straight in her mouth and start eating. She just munched away, shell and all. I looked at her and she smiled and then I got the next one from the dish and put it straight in my mouth and munched through it, shell and all. I think if she could speak English, she would have said, no worries, Don, soft shell, bit of roughage, eat up. All so good. The next dish came out and it had big yabbies in it.
Uh-oh.
Now, with my confidence up and no one really laughing at my use of chopsticks, as I expected, I went first, I reached over, I grabbed a yabby and I put it straight in my mouth. Crunch, crunch, crunch. By now, everyone was looking at me. I thought to myself, well, they're probably pretty impressed with how I grabbed that yabby. And then I looked out the corner of my eye and I saw a lady pick up a yabby, put it on a plate and start peeling it. Oh, shit. Turns out the big yabbies should be peeled before Easter. So that's a true story, JT. Oh, that was in China, and that was on the 1st of September 2008.
But bang, what did it taste like?
Be rough.
Yeah,
I peel all my yabbies from now on.
Yuck, mate. Great story. Love it. And, one of the joys of, I guess, you have seen so much of the world, mate, is just sometimes the best parts are just experiencing that different culture, isn't it?
Oh, bloody love it, mate. And I tell you, I'm on my fourth passport. I literally love to see the world. I travel every chance I get. Mm. And I'm never not surprised. I love going to places where there is a culture shock because that's when we grow. That's when we learn. And, mate, I bloody learn a shitload by some of those, as we'll find out. So what I'd like to do, JT, is I'll just throw it out to the punters.
Yep.
Let me know if you want to hear more of my adult life, my childhood, my teenage years. You let me know what you want to hear and I'll just rip a page out from that era and bring it to you.
Mate, Don's Diary. There you go. Get it onto it, listeners. Tell us what you want to hear. Now, Donnie, it's time for You Know What.
Dad joke of the week.
Oh, now, JT, let's not kid ourselves. Apart from your bloody adoption story, this is the best bit.
Mate, the pressure builds every week. By the way, I'm loving all the comments on Facebook. Thank you, everyone, that is commenting on our live video. There's a few.
Are people still there? That's wonderful. Well,
mate, we've still got a few people listening. Thanks for hanging in there. So, all right. So our dad joke of the week, Donnie, got two for you again this week.
Righto, mate.
And I'm just going to tee up my little deck here because we may need some sound effects.
Oh, you are the sound effect king.
We may need some sound effects. All right, so here we go. First joke. So after a terrible shipwreck, can't speak.
A what?
Have you heard of those before? After a terrible shipwreck, a man found himself alone on an island and he went about the island in search of food and shelter. Makes sense. That's what you do if you're stuck on an island, Don. But after a long walk, the man froze in terror. He saw a tribe of cannibals in the middle of a celebration. And the man just thought to himself, uh-oh, I am screwed here. Mm-hmm. But to his surprise, Donnie, a bright light came from the heavens and a deep voice said to him, "Not yet, my son. Listen very carefully. What you have to do is run up to the chief of the tribe, kick him in the nuts, and take his spear. As soon as you take his spear, kill his only son with it." So without thinking twice, the man does as he's told. And as he put the spear through the young cannibal's heart, the bright light appeared again. And the deep voice said to him, "Now you're screwed."
Oh, JT, that was... I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Come on, that's. I thought that was pretty good. If you thought that was crap, wait for the next one.
Oh, JT.
All right, so we're going to talk about drug use here, Don. We're talking to the big issues here, mate. So there's a guy in his apartment and he's smoking weed for his therapy session. Mm-hmm. Well, the neighbours despise him and they call the cops after smelling a batch because basically he refused to share it. So they've called the cops on him. And as the police appear and they smell it outside the door, they bang on the door, don't they? Bang, bang, open up, it's the police. So calmly he just goes to the door, douses his light, puts his magic bag of weed into his back pocket. Now opening the door, the officer demands to search the place. And he wants to try and find this magic bag of weed, right? And then he finds the magic bag and he goes, caught you red-handed. And the officer snickers. And his neighbours are boiling with laughter inside, thinking, this bloke's going to get taken off to jail. And then the guy goes, no, I've got a reason for this. And the officer just rolls his eyes and goes, oh, yeah, here we go. What's your story, mate? And he goes, well, you see, officer, this is a magic bag of weed. And I can't keep it off me because every time I flush it down the toilet, it jumps right back out again and just jumps straight back into my back pocket. The officer's frowning, he's just laughing, and the argument's going back and forth. You know, this is bloody ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And finally, the guy goes, well, you know what? Fine, I'll bloody prove it to you. So the officer gives him back the bag and watches him empty it into the toilet, and he flushes it down the toilet. But the bag doesn't reappear, Donnie. So when nothing appears, the officer's like, well, and the smirking man's just going, well, what? The neighbours' mouths are, you know, open. They're just going, oh, bloody hell. And the officer's getting really annoyed. He's like, well, where the bloody hell are the drugs in? The man just smirks and goes, well, what drugs? Down the toilet, Donnie.
Oh, JT, yeah, that's good.
Clever.
Yeah. Hey, he's a clever dopey, that one.
Oh, I see. You can't catch criminals like that, Donnie. They are way too smart.
Yeah, no, geez, I tell you what, that's good. That's,
like that one?
That's, oh,
which one did you like better, Donnie? What do you reckon? Was the which one did you like better? Did you like the spear and the god? And
No. I like the second one. Because I'm thinking I might have the council turn up for my fire pit. And I know what I'll be doing with that. I'll say, every time I throw it over my neighbour's fence, it comes back.
There we go. All right. Now, every week we try and bring our listeners a bit of a hack, mate, a life hack that's going to make life a little bit easier. Donnie, what have you got for the people this week?
Well, mate, I reached out to the people and I said, hey, people, what's a good life hack? And I had one of them come at me thick and fast and he said, mate, if you want to cool your drink, say you go and buy a slab and you're in the middle of an Australian summer and your cans are all hot because there's none in the fridge, you want to cool it down quick, grab a paper towel, wet your paper towel, wrap it around the can, stick it in the freezer. It, like, literally 7 minutes, she's drinkable. 12 minutes, whew, she's straight, like, it is cold. Beautiful it'll be. So cool your cans quick, JT. Cool your bottles. Like, note to anyone having a crack at this, don't fucking forget they're in the freezer.
Yeah, probably not good if you leave them in there, right? So, now, I've got a tip for people as well, Donnie. Now, I don't know about you, but every now and then, you know, you've got to boil an egg, right? Whether you're having some for breakfast or whatever it might be. But you know what shits me is when the egg cracks, Donnie. You know, you get that egg white just seeping out. Crack. Bloody annoying, right? And then you got to try, if you're doing boiled eggs, you got to try and shell them. The shell goes freaking everywhere. Here's a really, really simple hack, Donnie, that has stood the test of time, this one. And I can personally vouch for it. Just put a little bit of vinegar into the boiling water. It stops the egg whites from seeping out. And it actually makes peeling them a little bit easier. It actually softens the eggshell and stops it from cracking and the egg white coming out. So just drop a little bit of teaspoon of vinegar into your hot boiling water while you're doing it, and job done.
Hey, JT, since we're on boiling eggs, let me give you another one that I love. This, when I boil my eggs, this is how I like to do it. Get the egg and just go whack on the bench, roll it, and it literally all just cracks and just falls away easy after you've when you're ready to peel it. So there we go. Bang, if you have boiled eggs tomorrow, try that vinegar and then crack them, roll them, and you'll be bloody delighted you did. Good work. Life hacks are winning.
Good hacks. Oh, I think that's almost my favourite stinger, I've got to tell you. So it's our heroes and zeros, Donnie. And who are we going to go with first? What do we put to the people? Let's go. Who wants the hero or the zero first? First person to respond and we're going with it. Let's see what people come into. People furiously going to their keyboard right now.
The fastest finger first, JT. Channel 9's Eddie.
Coming in. And, of course, if you're listening to this later on, it's probably really boring, but who cares? This is live and we're going with it. And the first person to come in with a comment, and it'll be really awkward if no one comments because I'm going to look like a real dickhead and I'm just going to have to make up one.
No, live TV, they just talk shit all the time.
Miranda, thank you for coming in first. And Miranda has decided that we should go with the zero, Donnie.
The zero off.
Oh, now,
zeros.
Donnie.
Now, JT, I've been really, really calm, cool, calm and collected this week.
I have a funny feeling this, I should just be queuing up the zero.
We're going to have a clip for this, surely, because I won't be able to do justice to this zero. Yeah. This zero is knob-rot personified, fair dinkum. You may have seen it. So the police out there doing a bloody wonderful job keeping us safe. And this
just so happens I do have a clip, Donnie. And it's coming.
Have you got a clip, JT? That's all right. That's bloody wonderful.
I'm trying to find it. Here it comes. Oh, there it is. It's already. Oops. That's not that one. I really stuffed it up now.
Let me.
Here we go. Coming.
Got it. Lovely.
One of them. Here we go.
Warning, what do you got, JT? Warning, we're halfway through zero, JT.
I love it. Now, I'm not going to show the whole video because, one, it goes too long, and B, well, let's talk about it, Donnie. What you obviously
she's
saw
a piece
the view.
Of shit. This young feral, there's no bloody nice way to put it because it's not nice, taunted the cops, and you might add a permit not to wear a mask. But when you're asked, what's your name, the next part to that is provide your name to the police. The next part of that is to say, I have an exemption for not wearing a mask. I have a medical certificate. As a matter of fact, here it is, sir. Not, here's the bird, screw you, and then kick the female cop that comes in to assist with the police officer. So for me, JT, the zero this week is that flog in Collingwood that got just way out of line, going for a 15 minutes of fame and a dickhead boyfriend. He can fuck off back to his hole as well. So, mate, seriously, that shit has no place in a society that is trying to rebuild and get through this. Donnie, less dickheads, please.
Donnie, going to call you on it?
Oh.
You said earlier in the show there's two things.
Yeah.
What were they?
Abuse to women and children.
Okay. So this is an unarmed woman.
Yep.
Clearly being choked, thrown to the ground, handcuffed presumably at the end. How does that sit with you?
Well, the thing that what sits with me is that we live in a society where police are empowered to do what they believe is right. And so if I'm led to believe, JT, the police officer didn't pull out his taser, didn't pull out his gun, he didn't use any more force than what he thought was necessary. And if you're not resisting arrest and you're not kicking a police officer, as a matter of fact, JT, I'm almost willing to give my zero to the law for not bloody locking this piece of shit up for the mandatory attack on a service worker. Like, we're losing it. We've got to stop this shit and stop saying that it's okay for flogs to get away with being bloody flogs.
Well spoken, Donnie. I'm not adding anyway, to that. I can tell
we're
you.
We're bound to have a hero, JT. Who is it?
Well, I have an absolutely, like, this is probably the most, well, actually, that's harsh because we had some awesome heroes on, right? But I've got to tell you, this story is incredible. So, obviously, we all heard about the very tragic explosion in Beirut, you know, last week. But it just came out a couple of days ago about an Australian woman over there. And I've got a bit of footage here. It's only 20 seconds and I'm actually going to show.
We had just wheeled the patient and she was just about to deliver. So she had, you know, gone through all the labor process. And all of a sudden we find ourselves on the ground. I think the first reaction was complete and utter shock. I wanted to first just make sure that everyone was okay. I had to make sure that baby was alive and okay.
Now, that person there is Stephanie Jacob, and I hope I pronounced that right. She's an obstetrician, and she was over in the hospital, and at the time of the explosion was actually in the middle of labor, or a lady was in the middle of labor, and her husband was actually filming the incident when the bomb went off, and the extent of the blast was horrendous. They were all thrown to the ground, and one of her colleagues was actually killed, and she picked herself up off the ground and actually went back and helped this lady deliver a baby. Then they tried to resuscitate her colleague who ended up dying. And then she went and helped in another area and helped another lady who was giving birth. It's just incredible that someone who was put in so much trauma and was nearly killed herself, literally, and then just said, you know what, I've got a job to do. This lady needs my help, and went and did it. I think it's bloody awesome.
And that, JT, is the exact reason why we have this segment called Heroes and Zeros, mate. Because our heroes, they're out there and they're doing amazing things. And you never know when it's going to be your time to be a hero, to stand up. And I tell you what, when it happens, I can't think of, like, that shit makes me so proud of humanity. And we should be giving more time to people that just do that. Become bloody heroes because of their thoughtless actions and selfless actions. And I bloody love it. Good spot, mate. Excellent, excellent hero for this week.
Mate, yeah, absolutely legend. So, Stephanie Jokub, I hope I pronounced that right. You are an absolute legend. And
JT, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go out to a few of our mates, our listeners. We've got a few that are bloody just legend humans. And I'm going to go out and see if we can get some prize packs because we've got to start giving out some prize packs, I think, for people that are doing just good stuff in the world. I don't know. Somehow, wouldn't it be good just to send some merchandise from Giddy Up Merchandise over to bloody Steph and say, thanks, mate. Just random. Oh, I love that stuff.
We're on
credit it. Where credit's due.
We are on it, Donnie. We are definitely on it. Now, of course, each week we have our celebrities, mate. People hang out for the celebrity segment. And, look, last week there was a bit of an uproar, Donnie, because, well, mate, it's your job to bring us the celebrities and, well, you didn't come through the goods last week. So, but I'm sure, mate, that you have – I don't know. I'm thinking Hugh Jackman or something. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm ready. I've got the stinger ready to go.
Let me tell you, I went out. I went out to a couple of really good quality humans and I said, we're changing the pace of this. I don't necessarily need to be a Hugh Jackman. I need good quality humans and we want to get your story. And I elaborated exactly what the show's all about and why this person would be a great person. Mm. And I said, can you send me something? And it took up all my data. He sort of missed the point. And he sent me this clip that was 45 minutes long, JT. So I have to go back to him. That was the edited version. I have to go back to him and say, mate, we just need it in a little bite-sized bit. So I've got a phone call to make tomorrow to, and he knows who he is, bloody champion, but I need it just a little clip and then we'll play some little clips next week, JT.
So, Donnie, that's, in other words,
they're just going to get better.
In other words, you got nothing.
Well, not for this week, I haven't. No. It was long.
2 weeks in a row, Donnie. I don't know. I'm worried about the committee. All right, now we've got a couple of segments to go. And I'll tell you what, some of our listeners have sent in a couple of topics that they want us to talk about. So I'm just going to...
You know, what are they?
Well, I'm not going to play them.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Uh-oh.
Oh! First, Donnie, I've got to get something off my chest.
Oh, what is it? Oh. Who are you putting in the torch by?
How many times do you get an email now that's just spam?
Oh, you know what? I seen you get filthy on LinkedIn this week, and I thought he's gonna torch someone.
Man, I am. I'm gonna bring it up, and I did write about it on LinkedIn. But,
yes, you did.
I don't know about you, Donnie, and we're getting on a bit, and I know all the young people live off their phones right these days.
But younger than you, Jake.
But I'll tell you what, man. When people start texting me shit about that they've just released their latest newsletter, I couldn't give a shit. And not only could I not give a shit, Don, I didn't even subscribe to this freaking company. They've scraped my number. They've got it from somewhere. And they just start texting me and telling me that their August newsletter's out now. I don't care.
Didn't we send out some messages and say, hey, check out our new podcast?
But that's the people that have already signed in that they know what they're getting. When you send unsolicited messages over, fair dinkum, that company is going to get called out. And I was pissed off yesterday and I wrote an article on LinkedIn. And guess what, Donnie?
When you talk, people listen.
Guess what?
What happened?
I got another text from them tonight.
No!
Yeah. Still telling me about their August newsletter. It was exactly the same text and I got it again tonight.
Hey, did you write back?
I will be ringing their CEO tomorrow, put it that way.
Oh, whoa. Hey, that shit's coming here. We're going to listen. Can you record it? And we can. Yes.
But tell you what, pissing me off. So anyway, some of our listeners came in with a couple of topics that they want us to cover off. Right, so mate, to end this show out, I want to sort of get into those. Oh, now Nikki just wrote into us about Nikki's out in the bush, mate, out in regional Victoria.
And oh, we love the bush.
They had to go and get some testing done, and you know what happens when you go and get a test on? You've got to quarantine yourself, and you've got to quarantine until you get the results back.
True story.
Well, Nikki's got a little one.
Cheers.
As in a little baby and a partner.
Yep. Awesome.
And so they all had to quarantine.
How are they going to eat?
Well, of course, Woolworths do delivery, right? You just order online so they can get your food brought in.
Done.
Yeah, no. No bloody delivery options from Woolworths.
What do you mean?
None available, mate. Whether they couldn't get delivery drivers or whatever the issue is, was not available. So we're telling people to self-isolate or quarantine. But the reality is these people have to eat, right? And so this is, again, where the system breaks down. So good shout-out, Nikki, because that clearly has to get better.
JT, here's that. This is the issue I had a couple of weeks back. We're making these rules for the city and where all the infrastructure and all the things apply, and it works.
Yep.
But you're trying to push that same rule out to the border towns and out to the bush. Shit ain't going to work like that because it doesn't work like that. That's why people live there, because they don't have to put up with city shit.
That's exactly right. So absolutely good one to point out, Nikki. Janine just wanted to give a thumbs up again for the healthcare workers. And, of course, they're doing an absolutely ripping job. And we've actually tragically seen people die. And so these people are genuinely real heroes that are putting their life on the line for us, to look after us. And you just can't give them enough praise.
No, thank you very much, Janine. And I tell you what, it's people like you that are making sure that it reminds people like us to give credit where credit's due, you know, because there are heroes and unsung bloody heroes walking amongst us, and we've got to keep calling them out, JT. We are so quick to stop and point out shit that's not right, but we need to be even quicker to stop and say, well done, credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Speaking of calling out shit, Matthew wanted us to discuss about Daniel Andrews lying about the ADF. Matthew, I could spend another 3 hours talking about that, and I probably will one day, but I'm not going to do it now. But rest assured, you know, clearly the government have to be held account at some point for what went wrong, because not only have they put Victoria backwards, they put the whole country backwards for some very poor decisions that were made. Now, whether that was Daniel Andrews or whether it was the health minister or whether it was freaking, you know, Johnny and Buddy lives up the street, I don't really give a shit. It was a poor decision. And ultimately, the Premier is accountable for decisions are made by his government. And at some point, they have to be held accountable for that. So I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash. And for now, you know, we've just got to sit here and focus on getting through it. But I have no doubt that day will come, Matthew.
I tell you what, JT, it would be interesting. Good work, Matty, for sending that in. But JT, I am equally interested that when we come to hold the Premier to account for what you call is poor decisions and ordinary behaviour in terms of selection, I also hope we hold up the stats. Because for Melbourne, against the rest of the world, okay, we haven't done too well against the rest of Australia and even New Zealand, but against some parts of the world, JT, people around the world would give anything to be here right now. So I don't think it's too... I don't think we can just kick. I think he's made some tough decisions, and I'm not convinced they're all bad, mate.
I am, so I look forward to having that debate with us in future episodes. Now, the final one to close us out, Donnie, there's a bit of a rumour around, this is back to one of your Olympic stories, mate, around a Canadian moose might have gone missing. Don, would you happen to know anything about this now with the passing of time? Is there anything that you would like to share?
No, nothing, JT, but I'll think about it. I'll see if I can come up with something in Dom's diary. It might be, who knows, it might be a paid day, but so far I've had memory loss. I do not recall.
We'll give you some thinking time, mate. I look forward to maybe it might be a Don's diary issue. I look forward to hearing that. So, Donnie, that's all we got time for, mate. So it's been a fun episode. I've enjoyed today. I hope our listeners, more importantly, have enjoyed it. And Donnie, of course, it's over to you, mate, to give us the big round out with the tunes.
Oh, I love this thing.
Get your timing just right.
Giddy up!
Yeah, shit hours again, Donnie.
Ah, oh, damn.